Perek Aleph, sorry, Melachim Aleph, Perek Gimel. Veischata Shloimei Zbas is Pari Melech Mitzrayim. So Shloimei, now that he established his kingship from within, he took care of all the potential rebels, of all the people who might be loyal to someone else, all the people who David, his father, had trouble with. Now that he took care of them, now he's working outwards. Now he's dealing with foreign policy. So what does he do? Those days, how would you make peace? You would marry the princess of that kingdom. That's how you made peace back in the day.
Yeah, that's fine for other people, but the Torah says you can't marry a non-Jew.
Okay, hold on. So this is the first, hold on.
He brings them right away. When I saw this, I had the question, and he brings it right away.
Okay.
Amen.
So let's see. So the Radak brings down here that you're right. You're right. It seems like you did the wrong thing.
Well, before we go, now, how old is he now? How many years has he
12.
Had been king already? He started at 12, we said.
Yeah, he's still 12 over here.
He's still 12?
Yep.
He got married at 12?
Married at 12.
He couldn't wait?
Couldn't wait till
was he married? How many wives did he actually
eventually?
Yeah.
He had 1,000.
1,000. How come
eventually.
He can have more than 18?
It seems like it was only for David and Melech. Seems like we'll see. We'll get there. Let's take one wife at a time.
No, but I'm just... this boggles my head.
What, that he had so many wives, or that he married non-Jewish wives?
Both.
Problem is, he never got married. He doesn't understand.
So I understand. I understand why I shouldn't get married. Because all they did is got in trouble because of all these wives.
Well, according to one day, according to one opinion, he was Megayer them. He was Megayer them. The problem with Bas Parai is that by the Mitzrayim it says Ad Dor Shlishi Lo Yavo Lehem Bikal Hashem. Until the third generation, you're not allowed to marry them. Meaning they have to first be Mizgayer, they have to first convert to Judaism, and then the third generation that's already converted, then you're allowed to marry them. Not before that.
First in Megayer them.
Right, but this Bas Parai, the princess of Pharaoh, was first generation who converted.
All right. How old was she? He's 12. How old is she?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Some say it was in his 20s already. I saw.
We're going to see later on that...
I just wonder if he married anybody else before her.
There's a question.
It says later on, in Pasuk Zion, it says... Vanoichi nar koton. I'm a young boy. So the Radak over there makes the whole cheshbon exactly how old he was. Ooh. Depending, we'll get there. Let's not jump the gun, but we'll see. The Radak makes the cheshbon that he was 12 years old at the time, and we'll see how he makes the cheshbon.
This marriage, it came for political reason or for love?
Well, both. It says that it was for political reasons. Because he wanted to deal with foreign policy, he wanted to make peace with Melech Mitzrayim. And the king of Mitzrayim was a very powerful king, who was obviously neighboring Eretz Yisrael. So he did it for that reason, but it says that he loved her so much, we're going to see. We're going to see how much he loved her. But... So even though she converted... Because she was first generation, that's why it was an issue. There's another opinion who holds that it's only banim v'loy banois. It says in the pasuk, banim shayudu lahem lo yovalem v'kal ador shlishi, meaning only sons are an issue, but daughters is not a problem. Even though you don't paskin like that opinion, like that daya, but still. It seems like it was not necessarily such a terrible thing, because when the Navi mentions the Averus of Shlomo, it does not mention that he married Bas Parai. Rather, he mentioned that shehir bo nashim v'davak b'em b'avo. That he had so many wives, and his wives, because he loved them so much, he let them do whatever they wanted. They engaged in idol worship like they were used to. And that was his problem. That was his issue. It doesn't seem like the issue really was that he married Vasparai. So it could be that he went according to this opinion and held that it's only males that are a problem and not females. Right? The Torah is not chauvinistic, obviously. Now we find that right before this marriage, what was mentioned in the Navi? The death of Shimi ben Gera. It says that until Shimi was killed, Shlomo was not willing to marry Vasparai because he knew that Shimi would tell him off. Shimi was his Rebbe. Shimi ben Gera was his Rebbe. And he knew that Shimi ben Gera would tell him off. Therefore, he refrained from marrying Vasparai. But after he died, he already was willing to marry her. So this was in the fourth year of his kingship.
So he'd be 16 anyway. Up to that cheshbon.
Well, yeah, we're going to see. We're going to see the Radak later on.
No, 3 years.
There are a few different cheshbonos.
It was 3 years. 3 years. The last one he told him to live in the city for 3 years.
Right. And then, right.
Having lived there 3 years, I think that's what we learned last week.
Yeah.
So then he had him killed, and so he would be 15, 16 years old at this time.
Yeah, we're going to see. Okay. We're going to see exactly what the husband is.
Well, what was his reason? Like, just get an ally with the Egyptians?
Yeah. They were very powerful and a potent kingship that was right next to him. Right? He was obviously been king for many, many years. The Radak also brings another pshat that really he didn't really marry her. Because it says that they did not accept Gerim in the days of David, and they did not accept Gerim in the days of Shlomo. Rather, what the Pasuk of here is referring to the fact that because he loved her so much, it's as if he married her. But he didn't actually marry her. Just because he loved her so much, that's why, and that's such a very strong relationship.
That's another thing. I mean, he loved her so much. I mean, where does he get off of loving a goy? I mean, it just doesn't watch him a call. He's not an ordinary person like us. He's Shlomo HaMelech. He did all these things, and he wrote all these things, and he tied with God, and God blessed him and everything else. As we were talking about, how does somebody like this you fall in love with a goy? They're not supposed to even think about Goyim.
Since he made peace with the king.
I don't think that's what it means, that he was that much in love with
her. You don't like that shot, okay?
I don't accept that. I accept he done it for a reason, not for that. He's too higher than us, and I don't know, that's how I think. I can understand he does this for political reasons. All right, he thought maybe it's okay.
And again, there is an opinion in the Gemara that he's allowed to because it's only Bunim that are a problem and not Bunis.
What?
There is an opinion in the Gemara that only Bunim are a problem to be Megayer. But Bunis are allowed. Like we find, for example, in Amon, right? Bnei Amon Umayov. Right, the halach is that Moav is not you're not allowed to be a Megayer and Moav, Moavite.
There's not a lot of Jewish girls around. You have to go looking for Goyim.
Yeah, Jewish wives also as well. Right? You didn't only marry non-Jewish girls.
I know that, but I mean, it boggles me. That's people like these here. They talk to God, and and all these things here. And if he does, if they sin, what do they want? What does he want from us? How can we not sin when we live around here? Every turn around, there's annoyance in front of you. How can you keep going on the right path? I mean, they tell him he learned, and now when did he have time to devote to 18 wives and all these other people? Where is it? I don't get it. But go ahead.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
That's the Yetzer Hara.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
You understand the Yetzer Hara. That's all.
It says that the Yetzer Hara right before Mashiach will come will be much stronger than any other Yetzer Hara that all the generations had to deal with.
You just mentioned Mashiach will come. All right, fine. So what all the prophecies say, when Mashiach will come, everybody will understand Hashem and everything else. Why was that going to happen? Because Hashem's going to make it that happen. So why do we have to wait till the Mashiach comes? Why can't Hashem make it now?
He could, but he wants us to work towards it. Hashem can give us everything.
They're not working then either. He's doing it. It seems when Mashiach comes, everybody's going to understand. From where?
We have to merit having Mashiach coming. Mashiach can just come in a vacuum. We have to merit.
The war, Gog and Magog, marries Mashiach, is a merit for Mashiach to come.
Well, we have to...
It's violence.
Right. Well, that's part of the repentance process of the world.
That's what okay, it says. Let's, that's what it's going to be.
Let's continue
on. But it's hard for me to fathom why through all the generations, all these people have to suffer. But at the end, the same thing is why did God make Eitz HaDaas? He made Adam like he wanted to be. Then he gets him an Asoyan over here. Why is he doing that? What does he want from Adam? What does he want him? Adam was born the way it was supposed to be. And if he didn't sin, that was it. Everybody will be fine. But why did he give him a sign that he could sin? Why should he sin?
Right. Okay. I mean,
he's all. It's that way. You have a problem. Huh?
You have a problem.
I have a problem.
Yeah. You don't understand what God wants. God does.
No kidding.
And no we kidding. Don't understand.
No kidding.
That's it.
No kidding. So we don't understand.
No, let's go
but it
going
says,
further.
What does it say? Nashe will do the nishma. Then we'll understand. So you have to understand also, not just nishma. It's both. Okay?
No.
Yes.
Okay, let's see if let's try to stay on topic over here. So. What David did was he brought her, says Ve'aviel, Ir David. First, he brought her to Ir David. At Kalais, the Levites is Beisayv, is Beis Hashem, is Chemes Yerushalayim Saviv. Until he finished building his house, and then and Beis Hamikdash, and the Chaimah of Yerushalayim. Now, what's the significance of the Chaimah? Why do we need a Chaimah? You need a Chaimah because. There are halachas of tuma and tahara that the chayma, meaning there are things you're allowed to eat only inside the chayma, the wall of Yerushalayim. Outside of the wall, you're not allowed to eat those things. That's why it's very necessary, not just for protection, but also for the laws of tuma and tahara to build a wall around Yerushalayim. Okay. So when he finished, that's when he brought her in. It took 7 years to build the Beis HaMikdash. First, he spent 7 years to build the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to see later on how exactly he did it. And then, after he built the Beis HaMikdash, he built his own palace, and he spent 13 years on that. But first, he did the Beis HaMikdash, and then he built his own house. Pasuk Beis, Rak ha'am mezabchim ba'bomais, ki lo yiniv no ba'is l'shem Hashem ad yomim ha'em. What is, it says that we are very interesting lashon. It says Rak ha'am mezabchim ba'bomais. Rak sounds like it's something wrong with it. There's some kind of derogatory remark on the fact that they are bringing korbanis on the bomais. Bomais means basically any hilltop, any area, any field you can build some kind of platform and bring a korban, bring a sacrifice. Now the halacha is that until the Beis HaMikdash is built, you're allowed to bring a korban on a bama.
Yeah. Well, that's so what they did in
yeah. That's what they did. So why is the pasuk we're saying rak? Rak sounds like there's something negative about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it says later on, ki lo yiniv no ba'is l'shem Hashem ad yomim ha'em, right? There was no Beis HaMikdash in these days. So what's wrong with bringing korbanos on the bamos? So the Radak over here explains that the problem is that we find this in David. He also brought korbanos on the bamos, but David kept it to the Mizbeach that was in front of Aron Hashem and Har Maria on Temple Mount of today, and in the special Bama in Givon. Givon was the place where the Mishkan was, and therefore that was the two places that it was special to bring korbanos. But what Shlomo did, he basically spread the bamos around all of Eretz Yisrael, and everywhere they were bringing korbanos on any bamos, and that was the issue over here. That's why the pasuk is saying it in a derogatory way, and that was wrong because he should have kept it to the two bamos. But in any case, Hashem, it sounds like Shlomo HaMelech was Oved Hashem Me'ahva. You worshipped Hashem out of love. And he went in the, you followed the path of David his father. Rak b'bomos mizbeach u'makir. The only problem he had was that he was still bringing korbanos with these other bomos, which was a problem. The reason why it's an issue is because it's very, even though it's no, technically speaking, there's no issue with it because you're allowed to bring korbanos on all these other bamos, but because it's very similar to mishpatei ha'goyim, to the rules of the goyim, where they bring korbanos anywhere they want, they just build a platform and they sacrifice, and because it's very similar, and you might come to go by the ways of the goyim, therefore it's an issue. Other than that, it's not really a problem. Right, so Shlomo HaMelech goes over to Givon, which over there they have the big Bama. Now over there, it doesn't mean, when it says big, it's not talking about size. It's talking about significance. Just like we find, talking about Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, what does it say? Tka b'shofar gadol l'cheruseinu. Mashiach comes, he's going to blow the big shofar. Now, what kind of shofar are we talking about? This huge, enormous shofar that's like 10 feet long? No. It's not what we're talking about.
It's a big noise.
Right, no. Yeah. Sure would make a very big noise. But it's not referring to size. It's referring to significance. The significance of the shofar the Mashiach is going to blow is very great. It's very great. So too over here, the Bama that was built in Givon, which is where the tabernacle used to be, had great significance because that was the main Bama. So he goes over there, and what does he do? He brings Elef Oilos Yal Shlomo El Mizbeachu. He brings 1,000 korbanos. 1,000 korbanos, which was obviously a very, very big, very big amount. Now we find, the Radaka actually brings out that this Bama was built by Bezalel. Bezalel, who got special instructions from Moshe Rabbeinu himself of how exactly to build the Bama. He was the one who built this, and that's why it's got great significance. Now, bringing many korbanos has the ability to bring forth the ability to prophecy for nevuah. We find by Bilam as well. Bilam also, when he wanted to have nevuah for a negative reason, he wanted to curse out, to give a klala to Bnei Yisrael, what did he do? He brought many korbanos. So to Shlomo HaMelech, he wanted to, we're going to see later on, it's actually a mechlekes, if Shlomo reached the darga of nevuah or not. According to the Ma'ari, he actually did reach the darga of nevuah. According to the Rambam, no. He did not actually reach the darga of nevuah. And what we're going to see right now is only a dream. It was only a dream, but nothing more than that. He did not actually get a real prophecy.
Well, the nevuah you're talking about is mouth to mouth.
Right.
But
meaning that he actually saw an image of Hashem.
That, how many people ever had that? Moshe, Aaron, and
there's levels of nevuah. There's levels.
All the other ones seems to be in the dreams, like it wasn't mouth to mouth like Moshe. Moshe was
right
by himself, all right. But Aaron too. God spoke to Aaron also.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely levels of nevuah. There's no question about it. There's different levels. But there's a difference between having a dream, which is not necessarily nevuah, and having nevuah. And a dream is a dream. You're not really experiencing nevuah. To experience nevuah, you actually have to have Hashem, so to speak, possessing your body to some degree, and Him sending a direct message to the Navi. So let's see what happens.
Late night, Rob read over here about that, and when he built the base of Mikdash there, he says Paro Zara couldn't live there because the one he married, she didn't have the Kedusha.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to build her a house in a different
separate
place.
House, yeah.
Nothing.
Right.
So we see, what's he doing marrying such a person for?
Yeah, good question.
Okay,
let's see. Vayitra Pasakei, but given Nira Hashem al Shlomo b'chalom alayla, once he's in given, after he brings 1,000 korbanos, Hashem comes to Shlomo in a dream. Vayomer Elokim sh'al ma'etin loch. Right, you know, like the story about the genie who comes out of the teapot and offers you 3 wishes. Hashem comes to Shlomo and he says,
"What do you want?
What do you want? You've got one wish. I'll grant you whatever you want." Vayomer Shlomo. Shlomo replies to Hashem, and he says, "Ata asisas im avdecha David avi chesed gadol, kasher holach lefanecha beemes utzdaka, uveishras levav imach." You did a great chesed, a great kindness with my father, who followed you according to his heart, and you kept that chesed going, and now you have me, his son, sitting on his throne as well. So the Malbim ever goes into a whole long tangent of the 2 pillars that the kingship of David was established on. Those 2 pillars were chesed and emunah. What's the difference between chesed and emunah? Chesed, when Hashem does something mitzad chesed, out of the kindness, that means that
even if the person doesn't deserve it.
Right, exactly. Even if the person does not necessarily deserve it, right, still Hashem continues the chesed going towards that person. However, if you find someone more worthy than the chesed that he's doing with this person, he's going to switch, right? Because this person does not have anything mitzad himself that he merits to get that chesed. So Hashem finds someone better. Okay, now it's better. That's what we find by Shaul and David. First, Shaul was the recipient of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but because Hashem found someone better than Shaul, because Shaul didn't listen to him with Melchamas HaMelech, once Hashem found someone better, then he switched, he went over to David HaMelech. Right, because he was more fit to receive the chesed. Right? Now, the emunah part means that is directly correlated to the level and the fitness of the person who's the subject of receiving the this chesed. And that is more that's much more powerful, that's more permanent, because that's actually depending on the person's merits, right? If he has a schus, then he would be a recipient of that chesed. However, the downside of the emuna is that it's really geared exactly towards that merit. Meaning, the more a person merits, the more he deserves. But again, it's limited to that merit, like we find by the Avay Sakdeshim. It says, maybe that the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov goes on for generations, for everything they did, for Akedas Yitzchak, for the way they believed in him, and so on and so forth. But it says at some point, the merit of the Avos of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is going to run out, because even though they did great things, at some point, okay, it's over. You know, it's like you have $1 million. That's a lot of money.
You're talking about a Muna, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What can be more than a Muna? I mean, Muna, that's it. You believe.
Right, right. But
how can you get to a degree that's higher than a Muna?
Right. The Avos also had a Muna, right? And we see that at some point, the merit of the Avos runs out. It says when Hashem will bring Geula, eventually, at the end of days, He's going to do it l'man shemoi be'ava. He's going to do it for His own name, not for the name of the Avos, because the schus of Avos is going to run out.
You bring that up. I think of that every time down in the morning, you bring the Akedah up, right? Every morning,
right.
The Akedah. What do you want from... Look what he did. He brought me. That's the biggest thing can be. But man, you're saying to me, for later on, it can run out.
Yeah.
But we learn all the time. He always says because Abraham did this and this, and even that's why it's going to continue going on. It's not going to stop, even if they sin and everything else. You know. It's still because of them. He started the thing here. I mean, what is a person, like, say us, we, what are we doing here?
Pick yourself. Don't pick everyone else. Don't include us in your...
What do you mean? I don't include you. Us, I mean everybody. I mean, there's generations over here. I mean, it's so... further away from what it was then. And so we have to have some kind of a schus to keep going. They still go back to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov through that schus to keep us going, even though now we're floundering around. You see, mm-hmm.
Right.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
The trouble is you think now wasn't any different than it was 50 years ago, 100 years ago, or 500 years ago.
So? I'm talking about now.
I'm telling you now.
Now. Not now means this generation.
No, the other generations, they went away from Yiddishkeit, and it just didn't, and there was people, the Goyim that converted for thousands of years, in the time of the Romans, Romans converted, and Jews went away, and they became
Upper
Karsim, and they became Mishyavnim.
Right, so you're right. Batsam, it says there that because the chesed that he's pouring on David, because that is based on the maisim of David, on his action, on merits, on the things that he actually did, like it speaks out in the pasuk of here, right? He followed you be'emes and with tzedakah, with truth, right? He followed his heart was completely straight with you, right? He's referring to the good midos that David HaMelech had, So because that's based on real actions that David did, therefore it's going to go on forever. That's why you find that the messianic line comes all the way from David HaMelech. Because that's the schus that goes on forever. And that's what Shlomo is now referring to over here. And it continued, he's talking about the immediate continuation, which is him, Shlomo, sitting on the throne of David HaMelech. You anointed myself under David. Right? I am a young boy. This is what I was referring to earlier. It says over there he was a young boy. Right?
I'm a little child.
I'm a little child, yeah. So the Radak over here makes the following cheshbon to see exactly how old he was.
This actually means a little boy, but he's unlearned. He's uneducated.
Yeah.
In being a king.
Right. You know, I didn't learn because I don't have much experience. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to have years and years of experience in order to know exactly what to do and how to deal. Yeah.
It hasn't been long enough.
There's adults that are still kids.
Yeah. 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 So the Radak makes the following chesed. He says like this, right? That it must be that when he was anointed to be king, he was 12 years old. Why? So let's start from the beginning. When he was born, it says he was born when the whole Maisa with Amnon and Tamar took place. Right? That's when he was born. 2 years later, it says, right, when after Amnon violated his sister, Avshalom was very, very upset. It says 2 years later, when they were cutting the wool of the sheep, Avshalom invites Amnon to join, and that's when he kills him. Shlomo at that point was 2 years old, right? So Avshalom at that point runs away to Geshur, and he spends 3 years in Geshur. When he comes back,
with his grandfather,
when he comes back, how old is Shlomo then? He's five. He's 5 years old at that point, yeah? After Avshalom comes back, says he spent 2 years in Yerushalayim, right? After those 2 years, Shlomo was seven, right? When Avshalom rebelled against his father, Shlomo was 7 years old, right? And he got killed. And then after that, it says there was a famine during the time of David for 3 years. Exactly. So he was 10. The year after that, David counted the Jewish people. And it says, Vayshutu ba'aretz tisha chadashim. Right? They spent 9 months going around Eretz Yisrael to count Bnei Yisrael. And that's another year. So he was 11. And then the last year of David HaMelech was his 40th year of his reign. And at that point, Shlomo HaMelech was 12. So he was 12 when he was anointed to be king.
How old was the oldest one, Avshalom?
When he was killed?
Huh?
When Avshalom was killed?
When he rebelled.
When he rebelled? I don't know.
How much older is he than Shlomo?
I don't know. I don't see anyone talking
chronological order. It's going. He had so many kids.
Right. I don't know exactly what I'm saying, because Bathsheba was not his first wife. He had many wives before that. So Avshalom could have
Bathsheba
been much
wasn't
older.
That old either.
Right.
And David wasn't that old.
Right. Right.
He's asking Hashem to put into his heart the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
To do the right thing. To try to understand. Not to get aggravated. You know. That's
yeah. A lev shemeya. A listening heart. What does that mean? It's a listening heart.
A good heart.
A good heart.
So you see.
A good heart to give him good understanding, so he could. He's not asking for money.
Right, right.
What do you see from this? It doesn't happen. automatically.
Yeah.
Nothing, the way you grow up doesn't happen automatically.
Right, right. You have to have a special blessing to have the...
everything that happens to us is a special blessing.
Right.
You know, you think it happens. No, it doesn't just happen. It's all that day. And it doesn't... So we see from here that it's not going to happen just like that. You have to have help. Mm-hmm. He's asking God to do this. He's asking him for help.
Right.
The vice says you can't do it by yourself.
Right. So, yeah. Okay, we'll talk about it more next week. We'll have to stop here because it's time for Marv.